Me now? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Over at Aldersgate United Methodist Church, they're going to be doing a special service at 7 p.m. Some of our own from our choir and our worship team will be being part of that service. It's a memorial celebrating remembrance to those that were victims of 9/11. And so we want to invite you to be a part of that over at Aldersgate. Let's take a moment of silence, and then I'm going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. Father, we come before you to say a special prayer, Lord, of remembrance, Lord, for the victims of 9/11, the close to 3,000 people who died from that terrorist attack 15 years ago on this day. And Lord, many of us here in this room remember where we were, what we were doing when that happened. Lord, we remember our grief and our shock and just our brokenness that we experienced on that day. We know our world was never the same. Lord, we think of those who lost a loved one in the towers and the Pentagon in Pennsylvania from the plane crash. Lord, we think of those who lost their lives rescuing or attempting to rescue those in those locations, Lord, the firefighters, the police officers, and others, Lord. We think of those in the military who served, who died in response to 9/11, even to this day. Lord, we thank you for their service. Lord, I pray that they would not serve or give their lives in vain. Lord, we recognize that even in the midst of a broken world, the world that is broken because of our sin, Lord, that we suffer evil in this life, Lord, we recognize that you are still sovereign, that you take what is evil and what man means for evil, and you turn it for good. Lord, you redeem, you restore, you put back in order. Lord, we thank you that we have hope in Christ. Our past, our present, and our future is secure in him. And Lord, we pray that you will comfort those families who a day like today is still hard, even after 15 years, Lord, it always will be. Lord, we pray, if we have those friends who have been impacted by the events of 9/11, Lord, that we would comfort them today. Lord, may we rest in you. May we look forward to the day, as Paul did in Romans 8, where right now the whole world groans in waiting for the day in which you will return, Lord. The book of Revelation says, on that day you will say, "Behold, I make all things new." And so, Lord, we long for that day. Help us to wait patiently for that day when you will restore all things, the order, you will take chaos and it will be no more. You will take our sin and it will be no more. Lord, until that day, we pray that we would rely on you. Lord, that we would not rely on politicians or programs, but we would rely on a faithful Father. Lord, as we prepare to open your word and discuss what it is that you've been doing in our church, Lord, we pray that we would approach you with great thanksgiving in our hearts for your faithfulness to Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, for the harvest that you have provided. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I go into a message, just want to say real briefly, we're going to be taking a group so far of about 21 people from our church to the Holy Land on a Holy Land tour for about a week and a half or 2 weeks for those that are going. So we're looking forward to it. It's October 24th is when we leave. By the way, it is still open for the next week and maybe 2 weeks if you're lucky. We still have some opportunities. So if you've still been thinking about that, if you want to be a part of that tour, please come talk to me as soon as possible. Shoot me an email. I'll get you the information, but you can still sign up for that tour if you're interested in being a part of it. It's one of those things that really will change your life. It'll help the Bible really come to life go from 2D to 3D or from black and white to color when you walk where Jesus walked and where the great saints of old have walked. So if you're interested, please let me know. As I prayed in my prayer, this is really a service where we are going to be looking back and at our present to see what God has been doing among us here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. You know, there's appropriate times in the season of your life or the season of your family to recognize, to kind of stop and smell the roses, if you would, to say thanks, to celebrate a harvest. You know, you celebrate and recognize when you know your son or daughter hits their first single, you know, or scores their first goal. You get excited when that test that you've been studying for, you know, you get your grade back and you get an A, or maybe you got a B or whatever better than you expected to get, and you celebrate that. Or you know, when the Eagles win a season opener, right? All of these things are things to be excited about and to celebrate. And so likewise, there are times to celebrate a harvest, to recognize what God has been doing among us as a church. And today is a day like that. We want to take some time to recognize what God has provided for us. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 to 4, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring." What we see here, and we often see in Paul's letters, is Paul made it a regular practice, like he does here in the church in Thessalonica, to stop and say thanks and recognize those who are serving, those who are being part of the harvest, and to thank God ultimately, to give glory to God for what he's doing in any particular church. And so that is what we want to do here a little bit this morning. We want to look at the spiritual growth, and we want to look at the numerical growth. We want to look at the harvest in godly leadership, and we want to look at the harvest signs, if you would. And so we'll be spending some time doing that. And I want to say, we're going to recognize some people here today, but ultimately our purpose is to give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7 say this: "I planted the seed," Paul says, "Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." So Pastor Bo is not the one who makes it grow. Pastor Nate or Pastor Matthew or Christy or any of the staff doesn't make it grow. Our leaders don't make it grow. Our deacons don't make it grow. The one who makes it grow is God himself. And so we're ultimately going to give him thanks. And so really the goal at the end of the service is that we'd be to increase our gratitude for those who labor for the harvest, but that we'd also well up in thanksgiving, even being overwhelmed at the thought of God's blessing on this church. So that's what we're going to do today. I want to share with you 7 harvest blessings that I'm thankful for and we're thankful for as a leadership team here at this church. Now, this won't come close, by the way, of sharing every blessing that God is doing among us or what God's doing overseas and in different places around our country that we support, but I hope it will give you a good sample and encourage your heart today. Here's the first harvest blessing that I'm thankful for here today. One, it's the unity and the spirit that we have seen here at our church more recently. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Paul says this because unity does not come easily. Unity is actually not a natural thing. Everything about our lives, all of our experiences that we have, they're unique to us, our personalities, our opinions, our expectations, our passions, or where we are spiritually, our diversity in ethnic backgrounds or ages and stages in life and generations, everything about us would scream that we wouldn't be unified. Paul says to make every effort to fight for, if you will, unity, to stay together, to be of one mind and heart, to be led through the unity that we have already in our faith in Christ. And I've seen that here as a church. I've seen it in our leadership teams, in our ministry leadership teams. I've seen how we fight as a leadership team not fight each other, but fight for unity in our leadership team. A diversity in opinions, but a unity in spirit and direction. I see how we fight for unity as a deacon board, with different ages and stages and expectations and everything, of preferences. And yet, what I see is a group of men who lay aside differences, who look to honor one another and hear from one another, who are praying diligently for the direction from the Lord, and come together in unity, in love for one another, trying to discern the voice of God. And it's really an amazing blessing. David talks about this in Psalm 133. He said, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down onto the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collars of his robe." You should get the imagery here of this anointing, this blessing of this sweet oil that would be poured out and overwhelming Aaron, right? It's this blessing. I've thought about doing this to the chairman of our deacon board, just taking some olive oil and just kind of dumping it on his head. I don't know if he would see the imagery in this. Maybe our modern version of this would be like the Gatorade dump on the coach's head. Maybe that would work. But the idea here is a celebration. It's a blessing. And what are they blessing? They're blessing unity, because unity is precious. And so I just want to take a moment to recognize the men who serve, because I believe they serve largely with very little gratitude from others. It's a hard job. It's a thankless job to serve on the deacon board. And these men spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort serving this church. And can we thank those men on the deacon board now? In the same way, not just the deacon board, not just our staff team, but we experience a high degree of unity and peace as a congregation lately. We've seen through congregational meetings and votes a high degree of consensus and unity on very important things, on who's going to be your new lead pastor. Pretty important. A lot of unity around that. That was great. Very encouraging for me coming in. by the way, as a side, somebody asked me, "Well, what percentage would you be comfortable with?" I said, "Well, what's the percentage that I need?" He said, 80%. I said, "That would be fine for me. If I get 80% of the people with thumbs up, I'd say that's plenty for me." And to get a lot more than that was just overwhelming. But a unity in that. Church offices, unity around what church offices we would have and who would be elected. Unity around budgets, a unity around our new bylaw changes. I mean, these are no small things. Now, if you're kind of on the periphery of the church and you haven't been involved in these things, I just want to give you a big encouragement. You are led by a membership who has a great deal of unity here in this church. Not uniformity. There's diversity in opinions, but a unity in the leading of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you're not yet a member, to commit and be a part of the unity of the Spirit, because God's doing something among us through that. I've also seen this unity carried out not just in votes and congregational meetings and deacon boards, but also just on a more subtle level among our congregation. I've heard stories of people who are making peace, who are dealing and resolving conflicts with one another, seeking people out to settle maybe a grudge that they've had among us. And that is an encouraging sign of a unity among us. And just recognize that that is not always the case in churches. If I'm breaking news to you here, that's not always the case in churches. We have a really sweet season of life here where we have the unity. Let's thank the Lord for the unity that we've been seeing. So that's the first thing, the unity of the Spirit that we've been experiencing here is a sign of a harvest. Secondly, we see a perseverance through change. It could be said that right now in the life of BVBC that the C stands for change. We've gone through a lot of change recently. I was reading a book on change, and the author was talking about how lizards have to shed their skin, and if they don't shed their skin, that they actually die. And they said the reason that they shed their skin is in order to grow, the lizard has to peel off the old layer of skin and get new skin. So they don't go through that period of changing skin. They're not going to grow. If they don't grow, they die. And the author of this book on change was talking about how it is with life, that in many ways it's like that. We sort of have to shed the skin in order to keep growing. And that's true, certainly, spiritually, right? If you're not growing spiritually, if you're not shedding your old self and putting on the new self, so to speak, as the Bible talks about it, you're going to be going backwards, right? There's no spiritually neutral. You're either moving forward spiritually or you're going backwards in decay. And so that's certainly true spiritually, but it's also true in the life of a church. Change happens. Now, we shouldn't be looking for change just for change's sake. But when we approach God and we say, okay, how can we be more effective? How can we reach new people? How can we serve our community and our congregation better? That always requires change. And that change, while it can be difficult, what I've seen here in this church is I've seen a training that God's used change to help train us and to bear a harvest of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Now, the writer here of Hebrews is not talking about discipline as much about like correction, like you've done these wrong things and I have to correct it. He's more talking about discipline like a fighter would get ready for a fight, right? Somebody who's training to run a marathon would train and go through difficult disciplines in their body in order to perform better. In that sense, going through change can feel like discipline. It can feel unpleasant to our spiritual bodies at time, but those who are being trained by it, who see the hand of God in it and say, okay, I'm going to go with the Lord on this. I don't understand it all. It doesn't feel good all the time, but I'm going to go with the Lord. God's word said there's a harvest for those. And that's what we've been seeing here. This church has been through a lot of change. You've changed senior leaders. You went from Pastor Bo to me. I think I'm actually about half his age. I'm a little bit less than half his age. For some of you, you've walked through having Bo be your spiritual pastor for years. Some of you are seasoned vets among us, and that's a big change. We've had transitions on our staff that some that have been more reluctant than others, right? Some that have been harder than others over the last many years, about 5 years or so. We've seen change in our demographic as a church. We've seen a lot of these changes. And a lot of churches that would go through the amount of change that we have in the last 5 years, would either have folded their doors by now or maybe gone through some, you know, massive upheaval, right? But that's not what's happened here. What's happened here at this church, not only have we haven't just survived it, but I see that we've thrived in the midst of this change. And that's only because of the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to say a particular thanks to those who are the seasoned vets among us, right? Who have been at this church for a long time and have accepted and embraced my leadership as your lead pastor and embraced the leadership of our ministry leadership team. It would be very easy for you to have said, you know what, you know, we're changing senior pastors and leadership. Yeah, maybe I'll go somewhere else. Or maybe, you know what, I'm not going to really respect this guy. After all, he's half my age or he's old enough to be my grandson. But just the way that you've embraced me has been just so encouraging. I brag about you all to my friends in ministry. And so thank you for just choosing to respect me and choosing to honor me and be an encouragement to me and support me along the way, to pray for me. So thank you for how generous you've been with accepting the change. Not only is it bearing a harvest in my life, it's bearing a harvest in our life as a church. So thank you for that. Here's a third harvest blessing that I want to reflect on and thank the Lord for, an increase in generosity. I'm very thankful to report that because of God's provision and your generosity, we have ended our fiscal year here in August in the black financially, and in fact, about $5,000 over budget. So that deserves a big round of applause and thanks to God. I believe making budget is a spiritual matter. It's not just about, you know, beans in, beans out, so to speak. It is a spiritual matter to be good stewards of what God has given to us and to look to do that well. And so I'm so thankful for that. God has not just provided, and you have not just been generous in general giving, but according to a recent church survey that we did, per family giving has increased to the general fund, to debt elimination, to missions, to love and action, and also outside giving as well. So we are a more giving church than we were about 3 years ago, which is such an encouragement. Just as a sample of that, this past year when we did Missions Week, we as a congregation gave $30,000 to help build and develop a seminary in Ukraine, one of the partner churches that we have in Ukraine. And so this is the kind of things that are exciting to be a part of. When we see the generosity of God's people being poured out, it's a work of the Lord. I've said before, and I'll continue to say, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. I believe Hudson Taylor was absolutely right, and it's biblical. God's word says that he looks to and fro around the earth to find people that whose hearts are fully his so that he can support them. He opens up the storehouses to bless those who have his heart. And so that is what we want to do. And just as a sidebar, this is the kind of thing that I want to see increase more and more, that we be a giving church. I look forward to the day where we will take a big outstanding debt paying off the building right here and be able to end that debt. You know, we give, some of you might not know this, but about $400,000 out of our general fund goes to paying off that debt every year. Can you imagine when that debt is paid off and we have $400,000 at least freed up for ministry activity? I mean, just imagine what God could do when he does that. So that's a whole nother sermon, and we don't have time for that one. But may it increase more and more. God is doing a work among us just financially. Here's the fourth blessing, harvest blessing I'm thankful for. Increased effectiveness in ministry. We have been more effective. In 2013, we conducted a church-wide, a multi-question survey to get a sense and impression of your experience of effectiveness here at Brandywine. And since that time, the board of deacons and the ministry leadership team took those results, and they set out, they charted a course to be more effective in ministry, to be a more vibrant church, a more effective church. And so we repeated this same survey right before the summer. And I want to share just some of those encouraging results to you from that survey. We found that 95% of us as a church would say that Brandywine is alive or vibrant, using those descriptors as a way that you would describe how you experience our church. That is a double-digit improvement from 3 years ago. So that is such an encouragement to see. Also, we measured 17 different ministries of our church, basically covering every kind of ministry you can think of, whether it's student ministry or small groups or Christian education or children's ministry, whatever it might be, preaching, all those kinds of things. 15 of those 17 areas that we measured increased, many of those substantially, some of them double-digit increases. Only one stayed the same and one went down, and the only one that went down probably shouldn't be a surprise to you. The time that we took the survey, we're in a very tumultuous patchwork kind of time with worship ministry. And so that went down a little bit. But outside of that, 15 of those 17 areas went up, many of them significantly. And so that's really a testimony to the work of the deacon board, the leadership of this church, and many of the leaders that make this church run. And so we want to recognize them, but also thank God for his blessing. And I also want to just say a special thanks to all of those who've been involved in music ministry since everything happened back in December when we lost Pastor Sam, our worship pastor, Sam Stein, and how those teams just came together and said, okay, hey, let's figure this out. Let's make it work. And so can we thank all of them for leading us so well? So that's such an encouragement, increase in ministry effectiveness across the board. We want to continue to be dedicated to that. We want to be able to take a survey 3 years from now and continue to see those the effectiveness go up so that we can ultimately accomplish the mission God has for us here as a church. Here's the fifth way that that I've seen a harvest here, and I'm thankful for, our leadership team is thankful for, an increased compassion. Now, it might be hard to measure. How do you measure increased compassion? Well, I want to share a couple of anecdotal things and then some actual numbers that I think help quantify that. And let me say that this church has been a compassionate church, I think, from its very inception. That could be a description of this church. My wife and I experienced that. Our family experienced that as soon as we came to this church. Paul encouraged the church in Thessalonica, as we read. He praises God for the increased love among one another. We've seen that here as a church. I want to share with you a little story. This is an email I received from a family. This is a family in our church that's just been attending over the last 6 months or so. They're new to this church, and they've been experiencing some personal challenge as a family. They also and in their marriage, but they also experienced more recently the death of a loved one that was unexpected, very hard for them to walk through. And I want you to hear this email that I received back from them. They said this: "Everyone here at this church has been wonderful in their loving support and prayers. I don't know when I've experienced such genuine compassion from the body of Christ, and it's left little doubt that God has called us to make Brandywine our church home. I've known many pastors and churches, but few churches where I felt truly shepherded their flock. I want you to know our sincere thankfulness for that quality, and we keep you and the church in our prayers regularly. For the first time in too many years, I'm growing again, and I'm excited about my faith. Before, I was dragging my heels fighting church, and now I'm pushing us out the door, excited to get here and worship. It seems God is trying to teach us something. So many messages, from sermons, Sunday school, to our personal family devotions lately, have dealt with some of the areas that they were dealing with in their life. Absolute forgiveness of God and God's love for us. We're looking forward to seeing you again on Sunday and seeing what God has for us as we worship him." What I was most excited about to hear in there is just how this family experienced the genuine compassion, even using those terms, genuine compassion of the body of Christ, that said, you know what? God is doing something among this church. And that's just one little story. We could probably share dozens and dozens of those among us of what God is just doing behind the scenes to work with people who are just at a place where they are burdened by challenges that they're going through. So thank you for being that kind of church. That's one anecdotal story, but I'll just share a couple of other maybe more tangible evidences of an increase in compassion. We have seen substantial increase in the giving to Love in Action Fund. A Love in Action Fund, as you heard Pastor Matthew say in the beginning of the service, really goes to meet the physical needs of those that are in our church, both here in the doors and also out in our community. And we have seen the giving go up just in this past year, 81 families, which comes out to about 7 families a month, have received help through the Love in Action Fund. That is a very active fund. And there's story after story coming out of how God is using that fund to be a blessing to those here in our congregation and qualifying needs around the Brandywine Valley. And I want to say a special thank you for the guy who really oversees that and does a lot of the hard work of qualifying needs to make sure it's a real need, a legitimate need, and to see how we can help. And he's somebody who would quietly go around and do it and and gets embarrassed when I would do this. But can we thank Lanny Weaver for the work that he does? So God is increasing our evidence of compassion. This is also showing up in a new ministry that's getting started. We don't have stories coming out of it yet because it's just getting started, but Come Alongside Ministry is a ministry of people that are going to be gathering together to study God's word, to see how can we be a congregation who's loving one another and then that those individuals that are being trained are going to be able to come alongside of those who are going through crisis or a season of difficulty or grief or loss or suffering of any kind, really come alongside of them and be compassionate to them. So I'm excited about maybe 6 months or a year from now being able to share stories of what God's doing through that ministry as well. So that's number five. Here's the sixth harvest blessing that I've experienced, that our leadership team has experienced, is an increased impact in children and students ministry. These are two areas that have been really strong here in our church for years. Back in 2013, we took a survey finding out, hey, how are we doing in those areas? When we got our results back from this past spring, these ministries, children and students ministries, increased significantly in their effectiveness. So we are continuing to approve ministries that were really already strong. And you can be sure that if your child or your student or your grandchild is a part of ministry to students or children, that they are going to hear both practiced and also in word the gospel in those ministries, and that they are going to be encouraged to make their faith stick all the way through life. And just to give you a couple of little, just a little anecdotal story on that, I was talking to Pastor Matthew, and he was telling me how, here's this really cool story from Ann Nielsen and Heidi Freakin, who both lead a seventh grade girls group, and a little small group. And this past year, as they were leading, one of the girls invited a girl to come and join their small group and participate, and they came to find out that the girl didn't really have any kind of faith background, didn't really know anything about God or the Bible, and so Ann started sharing the gospel, and the girls in this small group began to just jump in with, filling in the gospel story and sharing stories about their faith and just getting excited to be able to participate in sharing the gospel together. And so that's just like one little small example, and there's lots of those, dozens of those groups that are happening around this church in student ministry. And so we're excited about what God's doing in student ministry. They had their highest turnout to the winter retreat that they've ever had. They had their highest turnout to the fall retreat, and so there's a lot of buzz going on. Pastor Matthew and the leadership team are doing an incredible job with that. But also the same is true, could be said in our children's ministry. Just to give you a few little stats on this, Awana has been growing. We're kind of busting at the seams here. If you show up in this building on Wednesday night, it's a busy place to be Wednesday night. Awana, about 140 kids are coming out each week. They're memorizing scripture, digging into God's word. They are serving, using their money and their talents and their love to serve our community around us. MOPS ministry, Mothers of Preschoolers, has been growing. We have about 80 women and their families that come and gather here and participate in that ministry. Preschool, 12 years ago, we started the preschool with 25 students. I don't know if you've seen trends on Christian preschools, but a lot of Christian preschools are like going out of business. The opposite has happened over our 12-year history so far. We're now up to 87 students that are enrolled. This is our highest amount we've ever had. We were able to reconstitute, refurbish a room and add some more kids. And so thank you to those who serve here on Wednesdays to do construction projects here at our church, because they helped completely redo that room. And so now we can serve about 10 more children, I believe, because of that. And so 87 students there, very diverse. You come here and when the kids are coming into the class or being picked up, you'll see ethnic diversity, all kinds of diversity happening. We know from enrollment, many of them do not attend our church. Many of them are not Christians. And so this is far beyond a school. It is a ministry. They get the opportunity to share Christ, to put their arm around families when they're going through challenging things, to pray for them. And so be praying for that. It's a great ministry we have here at the church. And then also VBS. We had by far our largest VBS, 340 kids. This place was crazy during that week. It was awesome. And so many of the youth participated in serving. That was awesome too, how many from our student ministry came out. 8 children who made a profession of Christ, many who committed their lives to Christ, many who did not ever own a Bible went home with a Bible. And so just God is doing a ministry in the next generation here, and that's just really exciting. So can we thank both Matthew and Christy and all those who volunteer in those ministries. And then the last one I want to share with you of the harvest blessings that I've seen, that our leadership team has seen, is an increased ownership and commitment here in this church. And what I mean by that is that our team has really noticed a surge in personal involvement here at the church. Of people saying, you know what, I don't want to just kind of sit around anymore. I don't want to sit and soak here. I really want to get some skin in the game, if you would. Right? I want to be involved in this church. I want to be a part of what God is doing here among us. We've observed that as new people joining into ministries, growing ministries like English as a Second Language, ESL, and Sunday Breakfast Mission, and Connections, and initiating new ministries like a new one that's launching called Career Network Ministry and Come Alongside Ministry and other things like that. But we've also seen that in membership. I'll just share just a brief little story about that. This last time we did a membership class, normally I prepare for those membership classes. I'll get like a little notebook and put some pamphlets together. And I made about five of those thinking, you know, we'll probably have two or three prospective members, people that are interested in membership. So, I'll think very positively. Maybe we'll have five come out. And so I showed up after church service, went to go walk in my office, and it was standing room only in there. It was packed in my office with all these people coming who were prospective people interested in becoming members. There's over 20 of them. And so I'm standing with these notebooks, and I'm looking around for Karen to come rescue me and make a bunch of copies. So it's just awesome to see, wow, all these people coming in interested in becoming members here at this church. It's just one little sign, if you would, that God is doing something here at the church, something you should get excited for. But we've seen this in a lot of different ways, an increased ownership. If you're kind of sitting on the sidelines a little bit, you know, a little bit on the periphery, maybe waiting and watching and seeing what this church is doing, man, don't miss out on what God's doing here. This is a good time to get meaningfully involved in the future of our church. I think God is going to continue to do far more in our future. I think we have a bright future here in this church. I want to, as the lead pastor here at this church, set this church up, not just for the next 5 years, but really for the next 500 years, if the Lord doesn't come back. That this church, for decades and even centuries, would be an effective church for the gospel here in the Brandywine Valley and beyond. And so, just in the short term, I see that the Holy Spirit is moving among us. He's moving among us in particularly in two areas. And we talked about these a little bit. And I'll just share briefly about what I'm excited. I really believe God is calling us to do a ministry among marriages and families here at this church. I was talking to a counselor recently and just asked him the question. He's a local counselor. He said, where is the biggest increase of the clients that you are coming to see, that are coming to see you? And he said, immediately, he said, I have more couples showing up in my office than ever before that are in crisis or in challenges that are having communication issues or all kinds of issues. He's like, it's just overwhelming to think about the marriage challenges that we're facing right now. And I know that's not just him. That pretty much any counselor around here would tell you the same thing. We know that there's an epidemic. There's a huge need to have ministries here at this church that offer real hope and real help to those that are struggling in their marriage, but also those that maybe have a good marriage, but want to have a great marriage, right? We want to help them. We want to help people coming out of recovery from broken marriages or broken families. And to that end, by the way, one of the things that we want to do here this fall, we're going to be doing a parenting seminar this fall. Mark your calendar. That is October 8th. It's going to be from 9 to 2:30. And it's really geared for parents of all age children, even grandparents. We'd love to have you come because I think there's going to be principles for you as well. But this seminar is really going to be geared to help you as a parent to help your child have a faith that sticks, a faith that goes beyond just one stage in life but sticks with them for their whole lives. And we're going to have a keynote speaker couple that I'm really excited about. They've been long-term friends of mine. I know them from McLean Bible Church, Jim and Sharon Supp. Jim and Sharon have been ministering at McLean Bible Church in D.C. for decades, and they have a really powerful testimony, powerful ministry. They helped Shannon and I in the early stages of our marriage, and they're really known in the D.C. metro area as sort of the gurus of all things marriage and family. And so they are going to be coming, they're going to anchor our first, really launch our first talk, and then there'll be part of a closing talk as well. But then we're going to also have some of our own staff, Matthew Christie, as well as some of our seasoned parents out there and grandparents out there who are going to be part of a panel. So you do not want to miss this. This is going to be a great opportunity. Mark your calendars, October 8th, and you can start signing up for that shortly. But marriage and family is one of the key areas that we want to really offer real help and real hope. The other area, and we've talked about this as well, is the issues of addictions, issues of brokenness and sin strongholds that people are going through, which is also pervasive and rampant. Idolatry of the heart, if you would, where people are taking, whether it's a substance or it's a relationship or it's sex or pornography, and setting it up as masters, that controlling masters in their lives, and it's ruining their lives, every area of their lives. And we want to be a place here in the Brandywine Valley that's really making a difference, helping people have lives that are transformed. I believe in the next 5 years of our church that the baptism testimonies that we hear, the new believer testimonies, the new people coming in this door are mostly going to come from those two groups of people. I believe God's going to do a transforming work among us in the next 5-10 years, and we are excited about what God's going to do. So pray for us as we move in that direction. Now, as we close, I want to make this tangible for you. I share with you the things I'm excited about, the things that I've seen as a blessing. But at the end of each of the aisles, each of the pews, if you look down, if you're in the end of each of those aisles, you're going to see little apple cutouts. Take two of those and pass them down the row, if you would. Pass them down the road. Everybody take two. And if you happen to look back into these little alcoves, you're going to see these trees back there with a few apples on them. And what we're going to do as a staff this week is we're going to take these apples and we're going to take them and we're going to put those all back there in the alcoves. So the next time you come, you're going to just see apples everywhere, okay? And here's what I want you to write on these apples. I want you to take two and I want you to write maybe one thing on each of those that God is doing that is being a blessing to you. What's a ministry? What's a maybe a person, an individual, or something that God is doing that's been a harvest in your life? Maybe it's a ministry that you've been involved with that's blessing you. Maybe it's somebody that's come alongside of you and helped you go through something challenging, or a person or a ministry that's helping you grow spiritually in your life. What are you thankful for? And write that down, and that way, over the next coming weeks, we'll see that harvest show up tangibly and visibly each week when you come in. So I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. And I want to just say thank you. This has been an amazing year of ministry. It's not been an easy year of ministry, but it's been a blessed year of ministry for me and my wife and family as well. So thank you for that. I'm going to give you a moment to do that, and then we're going to close in prayer. When you are done with those apples, you can pass them down to the other side, pass them to the inside of the aisle, and just set them there, right there on the pew, and our ushers are going to grab those after the service. You can do that right afterwards as well.